This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz. 95 The Sports Hub.
Tannehill. Pressure. And this game is over. And so is the 50-year drought between Super Bowls.
Is this the beginning of a new reign, maybe, in the AFC?
Well, it's going to be good for a long time. There is no doubt. There is no doubt the Chiefs should have a glorious long stretch ahead. And it really begins now with a trip to Miami.
All right, Bedard, pick that up. Is it the beginning of a new reign? And does the AFC go through Kansas City, and do the Patriots have to build their team accordingly?
I don't know about the whole new reign thing, but I think that, yeah, I mean, you have to build your team. And here's the thing. You do have to build your team for Mahomes and the Chiefs. But here's the thing. I think the Patriots already did that. I think they had the defense. They knew what they were getting, and I think that's some of the decisions that they made. But then they sort of, you know, underestimated the field. And I think that's where they have more of a problem than, say, some of the AFC West teams that have to go head-to-head with KC, because they know they have to face them twice, maybe third time in the postseason if they want to go to a Super Bowl. But the Patriots have to worry about the AFC East, and I do think that's becoming more of a factor. I mean, with Sean McDermott in Buffalo, and also I think with Brian Flores in Miami, I think those are teams that you at least have to prepare for. I mean, just look at the way the Dolphins have played the Patriots and also the way the Bills have played them. I think that the Patriots and Belichick have a tougher time because I do think that they have to worry about their division and playing. So you have to play both ways.
All right, take that out. Is Kansas City the next team? Is it their decade?
I think you have to say that because of just Mahomes, the speed, everything, and I assume Spagnuolo probably won't get another sniff at a head coaching job, so I think he's going to be there defensively for a while, and I think that's a factor.
Bill absolutely built that defense for Kansas City this year.
So the answer is they've already built for them.
Yes.
I think it's so
yes,
true.
Yes, they absolutely
their pass defense,
have.
Yes.
The whole thing was about Mahomes. They went in there last year, and the idea was to keep the ball away from Mahomes, and then, you know, Mahomes still shredded them in the second half, and Bill said, we got to get even better. So he built a defensive team that was geared to beat Kansas City. I don't think there's any way around it. Like, you've got to beat the Chiefs now to get to the Super Bowl.
But let me tell you why I don't think they're you. I think they're closer to something like Peyton Manning's Colts, where I think they're, until they prove to me otherwise, they're going to be, the quarterback's always going to have them there. Okay, because that's just such an important position, and he's so prolific that they're going to be a double-digit win team every year. But are they disciplined? Are they smart?
Right.
Are they keep their heads screwed on straight? Because that's been a key part of the whole Patriots thing year after year, the consistency and the professionalism and the button-down nature. I really do believe in that. I think it's been a huge factor here. Like, for example, I can see Kansas City totally losing their heads this week. Totally losing their heads. I mean, next week is really what I mean. Getting down there and guys running their mouths or running around town, or because they're just, you know, there are a lot of questionable characters there in Kansas City. I don't think they put a lot into the character question.
No,
there.
They don't.
And Andy Reid has never been a big disciplinarian. He's never been. And so, you know, what are you going to get down there? And then so for to be competitive, elite, you know, a deep competitive team year after year after year after year, you got to be disciplined and tough and professional and all of that. And I don't, Kansas City has not shown that to me yet.
Right. There's a couple things about that. Number one, when I look at teams that might have sustained success, I start with the character of the players on the team, the type of players that they bring in. And I think teams like the Patriots, and I think teams like the 49ers and Shanahan, I think they have a profile where it's, you know, and even I think Peter King had this in Monday Morning Quarterback about sort of the slide that Kyle Shanahan put up. And make no mistake, forget John Lynch. Everything that happens with the 49ers is through Kyle Shanahan. He has complete control there. And they put up a slide about what kind of players they want for the 49ers. And it's very much Patriots-like, where it's like, does he love the game? Is he a leader? Does he have enthusiasm?
What is Kansas City's slideshow?
It's basically like...
One word. Speed.
Speed. Speed and skill.
Is he fast?
We don't care if you've been arrested before or anything else.
Is he fast? We'll take him.
Right.
And there's no other consideration.
And so that gives you the chance of things becoming fractured. But I think... and the other thing that you brought up about... Are they smart? Things like that. That's why I think I'm going to take the 49ers ultimately, is because the Chiefs, even in this game, still did completely stupid things.
Yes, they did.
Then the Niners just, they are a tough, physical, disciplined football team. To me, I think that if Jimmy G does come through and they win this game and he plays well and he gains that confidence, I think you can make the argument that the Niners are the team that everything is going to go through, not in the AFC, but in the NFL, because I think they do have that toughness and discipline that I don't think that the Chiefs have.
So the only thing I disagree with you on is that nobody's ever going to be the Patriots again.
Well, that's true.
Like, you're never going to get that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not going to happen anywhere. So, but in terms of what the Chiefs, you know, the quarterback is going to make him a contender for the next 10 years.
The quarterback gets it. You know, he ain't no jackass. He totally gets it. I think he will do all the little things that it will take to be great and stay great. It's the rest of the operation there I wonder about.
Yeah.
One jackass after the next out there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just look at Kelsey.
Seriously.
Kelsey's a complete freaking jack wagon.
That and also look at Reed's Eagles teams. They were consistent, but they never really achieved because they had jackasses on the team in some places, including T.O., you know, who derailed the season all by himself.
Mitchell, just go down the line. And that's sort of Andy Reid's hallmark. And I think that you can flash, and boy, are they talented. But sustained success, Mahomes is always going to have them there. You know,
in the mix, in the final four.
Exactly, in the mix. But to really be that next thing, I don't know. I got to see it. All right, so I promised we get back to your phones, and so we will. Alan in California. Go ahead, Alan, on Tom Brady.
How's it going, guys? There's an article that was written in The Atlantic 4 years ago about the inevitable decline of Peyton Manning. Everyone should read it. And I think we saw the beginning of that during this past season. It would be one thing if Tom could scramble and make a pass, but he can't even dish and make an accurate throw past 10 or 12 yards. I think we're overlooking the fact that the Patriots' philosophy of non-athleticism for almost a decade finally caught up with them this year. And I'll tell you one last thing.
Wait. Hang on. Non-athleticism where?
At quarterback.
Well,
at quarterback?
Non-athleticism and non-speed. I'm probably going a little bit too far.
At quarterback. You don't just mean in general.
Yeah. I mean, just a lack of putting the talent on the field to match Tom's ability. You know, it finally caught up with him this year. But the thing that I noticed most about this season that nobody's talking about is I think the defense was good. I just think the defense got incredibly exposed. When every time the Patriots were playing one of these good teams, Tom in the offense was not able to sustain any offensive drive.
Okay, I got to stop you there. So the defense got exposed because Brady and the offense couldn't stay on the field.
I think that's fair. That could definitely be possible. I mean, it looked like they wore down as the season went on, even though, you know, you look at some of the play numbers overall, like, I didn't think it was out of whack. It wasn't as out of whack as I thought it was going to be.
Okay, his first thing he confused me. Was he talking about skill at quarterback or skill around Tom Brady?
It sounded like around Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with that. It's not like Bill's like, well, I just want to be slow and unathletic on offense. I mean, it worked out that way mostly because...
They swung and missed.
Yeah, the drafting has caught up with them, and Bill kind of goes in cycles, and now that he's at the Senior Bowl this week... Maybe he gets back on an upward swing because he has all this extra time to talk to coaches and watch film and practices and all that stuff. Because I do think...
Is he in Alabama this week?
He is, yeah. And a lot of the coaches are. And I think that Bill, when he does focus on the draft, I think he's excellent. I think that, you know, just these seasons go so long that maybe he hasn't been at full capacity in that way. But I think, look, they brought in Brandon Cooks 2 years ago. I mean, that guy can fly. I mean, not the toughest guy, you know, on the ball, but good. They had Gronkowski. They had Hernandez. Like, you know, they just, it's fallen off. And they made it a guess this year that they could do it defensively and get by offensively. It almost worked. It did almost work. I mean, even the Kansas City game here, they held the Chiefs to what? 24, 27 yeah, 20, points?
23 points.
That's about where he, if you asked him before the season, that's where he'd want to be.
Did you have something else there, Maz, you were going to say?
Nope.
We got Curtis and Lynn, our buddy Curtis. Hi.
Gentlemen, how are you? Just real quick on the Garoppolo thing, right? Just we all agree that just finding a quarterback is, in and of itself is a low probability, statistically speaking. So if we go ahead then, because he found him in Brady, clearly the greatest quarterback of all time, right? So if we go ahead and just for a second assume that Garoppolo's another great, doesn't it make it, like, exponentially, like, low odds that, like, he could do it a third time with Stidham? But that's just, let me go real quick on the other. The elitism you guys talk with, Kelsey's a, what, Gronk is Kelsey. Kelsey is Gronk.
No, no, he isn't. No way.
No.
You want to give me
soft
you
wanna, big games.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't you wanna, block.
You want to tell me Kittle is a Gronk in the making? Mm-hmm. Fine. And even then.
I mean, in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of comparables there.
Yeah, I think Gronk is even bigger, though, and better.
Yeah, like, he's bigger and better, but Kittle
at least blocks.
Blocks?
Well, and I made this point on my site because I said I didn't think this was possible, but I think that Kittle, if he remains healthy, has a chance to match or exceed what Gronkowski has done because of the two-way ability. And, you know, of course, a lot of people came at me, but you look at their stats – Kittle has more catches and more yards. Gronk has way more touchdowns through 3 years. But Kittle's been better. And also, you have to factor in that Kittle was playing with on a team that was, before this year, was like 10-22. Plus, he had Brian Hoyer, CJ Beathard, and Nicky Mullins throwing passes to him in his first 2 years.
I don't know who that is.
I'll tell you, I wonder, like, I don't know, you get the two best tight ends in football in this game, right? You know, Baltimore didn't make it to the AFC title game, but they had a...
Yeah, these guys are better.
No, no, my only point is that not having a tight end in your offense, that's a huge hole. I'm talking about the Patriots now.
To his first point, if Garoppolo comes through in this game and he, you know, wins over any doubters, does that make it more or less likely that Stidham can play?
I don't agree with that because, and I'll tell you why, because, and you've talked about it before, I think it's much easier now to find a quarterback than it has been in the past just because the college game has completely changed. All these guys are throwing all the time. Now all these guys are throwing from Pop Warner. They're running the spread offense where it's completely changed where Brady, you know, was probably running a, you know, I think he was running a run-based offense in high school. It's completely changed. I think it's much easier to find a quarterback that you can win with now than it was in the past.
Okay, I still want Bill doing it. And I don't need to see this game to feel that way. I mean, I felt that way for a long time. I felt that way since Garoppolo was here. That, to me, it's about Belichick's window, not Brady's window. And to maximize Belichick's window, he gets to pick, draft, develop, whatever you want to say, the next quarterback. To me, that is incredibly crucial for this franchise. And so I don't need, it makes no difference what happens in the Super Bowl for me to feel that. I felt that way already. But if Garoppolo does come through, does win you over, you've got to say Bill's, you know, I don't know, he's got three viable starters in the league, the Super Bowl winner, the best quarterback in the league, and another guy in Indy who can play at least a little. And that's pretty good. And that should give you confidence that Stidham actually could play. We'll do 10 questions around the NFL with Bedard right after these words.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Bedard, are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Got my answers all typed out.
Okay, you got the questions at like 10 a.m., right?
Yes. They're typed out. You want to see my homework?
Am I going to get to a point where I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to look at me like it's the first time you've ever heard of this in your life?
No.
You did that during...
Jerk.
Did you notice the pausing during the three up and three down? Like, I'll say second up to Greg, and he'll look at me like he's like...
Sometimes I'm thinking of different things.
What are you
doing
asking
me
that question? Like, this... Greg, second star. Pause. Like he wasn't expecting the question.
He's a thoughtful guy.
Yeah. Okay.
He's an amazing guy.
We are on a clock, Bedard. So this is why I don't want you pausing and
smacking. I'm ready. Let's go.
10 questions, 10 minutes. We need buzzers. Go ahead, Jimmy.
It's 6.5. The over and under on Jimmy G's passes.
I'm yucking it up on Jimmy G's expense. Next.
1, 2, 3. Miss.
Max, obviously.
Ah! Miss.
Okay. Next.
Now where's Verlander? Where is he?
Mad Dog, thank you.
That's not accurate.
Yeah.
Heim.
We would ask that everyone reserve judgment.
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
We would ask fans reserve judgment.
Excellent. Finally, that's the only way I want him is if he's freaking free.
Yeah, but you're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Suffering fucking man.
One more.
I do. I like the size. I mean, I'll always take a bigger guy.
Yes, you will.
Number 10, hit anyone.
I do. I like the size. I mean, I'll always take a bigger guy.
Current NFL power rankings, top 10, please, Greg Bedard.
Top 5, you said.
I'm sorry, top 5. I misspoke. It's right there, top 5.
49ers, Ravens, Chiefs, Saints, Titans. Then I had the Patriots.
Titans, 5. Okay. Maz?
San Fran, Kansas City, New Orleans, Baltimore, New England.
Chiefs, Niners, Titans, Saints, Baltimore.
Titans are 3rd?
Yep. Well coached, all around good team. Only thing missing is a quarterback.
How do you have the Patriots over the Titans, Mass? They just came in here and beat your butt.
I know, because I don't think the Titans are very good.
I have the Patriots over the Titans, too. A great story. I loved them. I'm rooting for them. Like, I can say a million good things about them.
They got hot.
They're an AFC middler that got hot.
Patriots are 10th on my list.
Excellent. Next.
1, 2, 3. Miss!
Who is he shouting at there, Stu?
Giannis. Did it multiple times last week against the Bucks.
It worked. A guy couldn't hit a free throw to save his life. Number 9, NFL quarterback power rankings. Top 5, please.
Mahomes, Wilson, Jackson, Rodgers, Watson. And then I have Brady Breeze.
Maz?
Wilson, Mahomes, Rodgers, Breeze, Brady.
Mahomes, Wilson, Brady, Jackson, Watson.
I'm with Murray. God, Aaron Rodgers still up there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was great against Seattle. Otherwise, he was really not that great this year.
Okay, so again, I understand.
New offense.
I understand.
Not much around him.
We all agree on 1-2. So the question 1-2. So the question then is, who's the third best quarterback in the league? And I think it's Rodgers.
I think it's Jackson.
Okay, I've still got Brady sniffing around up there. Next.
Miss!
Number 8. Given the fact he just moved his entire family to Florida, and he likes to be around his family,
Philip Rivers is out of Los Angeles, right?
Yep.
Give me his best landing spot.
Tampa. He'd be a great fit for Bruce Arians' deep passing game, where it's just, you know, just deep drops, chuck it down the field. It'd be perfect for him. He would not be good in one of these. He wouldn't be good in the Patriots system, you know, the quick passing, have to make quick decisions. That's not Rivers.
I mean, I say any of the three really in that Southeast, Carolina, Tampa, or Miami. I can leave Atlanta out. It's one of those three.
How would he be in Indy?
He'd be okay. Yeah, he'd be a decent fit for that.
It's not a bad one.
I also say the Bucs, and for what Greg was saying about Arians, he's already proved he can get the best out of an old quarterback with Carson Palmer when he was with Arizona. So I think he could do the same thing with Rivers. It's good weapons. And nobody in that part of the country is going to bat an eye if he keeps making kids.
Okay, next.
We would ask that everyone reserve judgment.
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
We would ask fans reserve judgment.
Number seven, who will have a better record next year, the Titans or the Packers?
Since I have no idea who's going to be the Titans quarterback or running back next year, I'm going to go with the Packers.
Green Bay.
Titans with Brady, 13-3.
Titans with Brady is the answer. Next. That's the only way I want him, is if he's freaking free.
Yeah, but you're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Like a Swiss watch.
Seriously, Sylvester the Cat, for crying out loud.
Number six.
Get it out already, you clown.
The Giants have hired Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator. Your thoughts?
I have no idea what kind of play caller he is, what kind of system, just because it's hard to tell being a head coach. You know, he was on the Dolphins staff with Nick Saban when I was down there. He comes from the North Turner School, but what I can say is I think he'll be really good for Daniel Jones. I think they'll have a really good relationship, and I think it'll be good for Jones. I don't know. I have my doubts about him as an OC.
That's funny, because I think Daniel Jones' career just ended. That's right. I think it's over. You get that clown calling plays, see you later. Done. D-U-N. Done.
Yeah, Garrett just showed you for pretty much the last decade, teams don't play for him. He can't motivate. His teams were soft, and it's further proof Joe Judge is going to fail as the head coach of the New York Giants.
Didn't the Cowboys' offense take a leap when they had that other kid calling the plays?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't
Kellen
that a big...
Kellen
Moore,
yeah.
Good God. Ridiculous what the decision making there in New York. What has happened to that franchise? Next.
It's 6.5. The over and under on Jimmy G's passes.
Number five, tool bag question. Who will be the biggest tool bag in Miami next week? Who will be the Super Bowl tool bag?
Gronk. Because he's gonna be throwing parties. He has to remain relevant. He has to make news. He'll be in full Gronk.
Travis Kelce, we are going to be so sick of that raging a-hole by the end of the week. It isn't even going to be. I'm going to be so tired of hearing him. I'm already tired of hearing him flap his gums. And he's going to be at the podium how many times? Or, you know, available to the media how many times? Travis Kelce, I'm going to be so sick of that guy. It isn't even funny.
Felger for not being able to handle his edibles and liquor again.
talk to me on Wednesday, Jim. I'm going to be there this time. Next.
End up in Key West.
Now, where's Verlander? Where is he?
Okay, number four. What's more unfair? Blaming Andy Reid for the Eagles' Super Bowl loss to the Patriots or blaming Kyle Shanahan for the Falcons' Super Bowl loss to the Patriots?
Shanahan, no doubt. I mean, look, Andy Reid's the head coach, so everything that happened with the Eagles, including that ridiculous two-minute drill, was his fault. Shanahan, his job is to score points. And until the offensive coordinator says, slow your ass down and run the ball.
Until the head coach says.
The head coach. Till he says, slow your ass down, run the ball. We just need a field goal here. You know, it was all Quinn.
More unfair to blame Reed. The Patriots were the better team. They weren't going to beat that team anyway. But Atlanta, they were loaded that year. Loaded, and they had the game won. Shanahan deserves it.
Shanahan shouldn't get the blame because ultimately the final call is made by Dan Quinn, like Greg was just saying.
Neither of them deserve it. The Eagles were not. I mean... The Eagles actually became they covered it. They must have, right? It was a three-point ball game. The Pats were a wagon that year.
Okay, question says more unfair.
Exactly. More unfair.
So you got to pick one.
Yep, Reed. It's more unfair to blame Reed. Next.
Ah! Miss!
It's unbelievable. The Pro Bowl this week will experiment with an oft-discussed onside kick alternative. I'm sure you've heard of this by now, which is if you want to try an onside kick instead of kicking it, you're going to get the ball at your own 25 facing a 4th and 15. If you pick it up, you keep the ball and you keep going. If you come up short, the opponent gets the ball where the dead ball spot is. Do you like that rule?
I think I do, but I'm not really sure until I see it in action. And I certainly won't see it in the Pro Bowl because I never watched that. So, like, just give it a run during the preseason. Let's test it out and see what it looks like.
I like the old onside kick rule. That's what I like. But we're not going to get that anymore. So sure.
Yeah.
Yes, since, I'll watch it.
Since
fine.
Since they wussified the onside kick and changed the rule, they made it impossible to recover the thing. So why not try it?
Okay. So I hate it. I go back to the old onside kick. And I know, again, the doctors and the lawyers and all of this, it's probably not going to happen. But just watching the old games that they were showing on NFL Network, even just 3-4 years ago, how much more interesting that play was.
Do you want the numbers from the last 3 years?
Sure.
In 2017, 21% of kicks were recovered. Then they changed the rule in 2018. It went down to 8%. And this season, it was 13%. But even that's skewed because Younghoe Koo in Atlanta
had
three in one game.
Right. So, yeah, it sucks that we've lost the onside kick. Next.
1, 2, 3. Miss!
Give me your assessment of the San Fran fan base. How are they going to travel this week? What can we expect down in Miami? Like, for example, if it were Green Bay who had won that game, we know how many fat freaking Midwesterners would be down in Miami next week between the fat Kansas City fans and the fat cheese? Like, it just would have been
so hot.
Oh my God. I mean, it would have been an infestation. But how's San Fran going to travel?
They will travel well because they have money, because they live in the most expensive part of the country and everything else looks cheap to them. A lot of champagne, a lot of lattes. Brunches will be huge. If the Packers are there, it would have been polka parties and pop-up supper clubs, but you know, with San Francisco there, a lot of brunches.
Nerds. Technological nerds.
Not going to travel.
I think you have it both wrong. If there's one thing to expect from Niners fans to travel, it's violence. Google the words violence and Niners fans and see how many stories pop up over the last 5 or 6 years. They're Raiders fans with brighter colors.
I just don't think they're going to travel. They don't travel like Packers fans, like Patriots fans, like Steeler fans, like that. They're not that pack up the RV, we're going, like, no.
I'll tell you what, when you asked this question, I thought, oh my God, I'd so much rather have Packer fans here than Niners fans.
Yes, of course.
Boring, dull, drip, bleh.
Agreed.
Hey, leave those people alone.
Next one.
I do. I like the size. I mean, I'll always take a bigger guy.
Give me a prediction. Super Bowl 54 MVP.
Well, I think the Niners are going to win. It's not going to be Jimmy. It's not going to be the right. I'm going to go Kittle. I think he'll catch a couple touchdown passes, a couple big runs.
Jimmy G. And then you all, especially you, Murray, I'm going to feed you this effing
Murray and Gasper will be crying.
If that happens, you deserve to shove that thing literally down my throat. I'm going to go with Ball Hawk, big play safety, Tyrann Mathieu of the Chiefs for his two picks of Jimmy Garoppolo, one return for a touchdown.
Garoppolo is going to win the MVP. Thus concludes 10 questions. Quick update. Your phones, open lines at 617-779-0985. That's the only way I want him is if he's freaking free.
Yeah, but you're not going to get anybody half decent for.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Calls as promised with Bedard, Josh, and Haverhill. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Felger, what up, babe? I wanted to say, first off, Jimmy Stewart Celtics aren't winning the championship this year. Sorry to say that, but whether they're with or without adding a big man, and then on the Patriots, I mean, on the Chiefs and 49ers game, Mahomes is going to throw the 49ers their bags. The 49ers aren't winning that game. And then on Maz, I want to know, is Derek...
Josh, I can't give you like four different things. You're too disjointed. I'm sorry. Come on, man. Get it together. Be better next time. Bill in Connecticut. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey. Dolphins got all those draft picks and all that. You just think the Patriots are going to keep winning and winning and winning. It's like the Dallas Cowboys when they traded Herschel Walker. They got all those draft picks, got all the linemen, got the running back, this and that. Boom. Super Bowl champs.
What is he talking about?
Miami's got a ton of picks from all the moves made before the season.
I missed the very first part of that.
So he's just saying they've stockpiled all these picks. You think the Patriots are going to win the division all the time, and Miami looks like Dallas did after the Herschel Walker deal.
Yeah. Dallas also had Troy Aikman. Okay, so...
and Jimmy Johnson.
Okay, but what I'm saying, I mean,
Miami needs a quarterback.
You still need a quarterback, and you still have to hit on those picks. So, right, they had Jimmy Johnson, who was a really good judge of talent. So, fine. Just because you have all those draft picks, what does that mean? There's been a lot of crappy franchises in every sport that have had pick after pick after pick and never go anywhere. So it doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. But I will say this. If I were a Dolphins fan right now, I'd feel pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. Flores turned that team around in the second half of the year. They played well, and that's after getting rid of all that talent. So they clearly bought in, and now they got a truckload of picks. They should be in a position to get better.
He is taking a big risk, though, with all these changes to the coaching staff. I mean, you would have thought that he would have built off the momentum from last year, but now he goes and changes streams to Chan Gailey on offense, who I don't really think he has a background with. I mean, that's a big risk for him to take, but he's feeling himself.
It's insane. It's an insane hire.
Especially with that guy.
Guy's been out of the league for 3 years. Oh, it's insane, I think. Rick in the truck on Jimmy Garoppolo. What are your thoughts?
Hey, if you guys think the Patriots, the 2019 Patriots, had Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback, would they be going to Miami right now playing in the Super Bowl?
Sure wouldn't.
Nope. Probably not.
I'd say probably not.
Not enough on offense. Just get Brady a tight end, and I think they might be in the Super Bowl.
The one thing I'll say is that if they had a more mobile quarterback, it might have mitigated some of their offensive line issues. But even so, Brady gets rid of the ball fast. I just think it would have opened up some other things to do offensively. That's all. And, you know, but ultimately it wouldn't have mattered. They weren't good enough.
617-779-0985. Tom and Newton, thanks for hanging on, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys, just want to ask you about the Tom Brady situation. I mean, to me, it's pretty simple. I mean, they either want to, you know, pay Brady his money or, you know, they don't. I mean, it seems like the difference between what Bill would want to pay him in his ideal world and what Brady wants, it doesn't seem like it's $1 or $2 million. You know, it seems like it's the Grand Canyon. So this whole kind of song and dance and talking to Davis and, leaking things to tabloids, you know, they either want to pay him or they don't. And I know,
so right.
You know, this whole offseason thing has to play itself out. But within the halls of, you know, one Patriot place, I think that decision can be made now. They either want to pay him or they don't. What do you guys think?
You're so right. I agree 100%. It's a good call. His market's around 25 million, give or take. It's around 25. Drew Brees, 2 at 50. We've been saying it for months, for years. Would he take 23 just because we need a little bit of a discount? He probably would. But it's somewhere around there. And they could make the decision tomorrow if they wanted. To me, this all comes down to, well, I don't think they want to pay him that. The question is, can Robert Kraft hold his water? In other words, is Brady sniffing around the Raiders? Is he taking a free agent visit to Denver? Is he being hosted by the Miami Dolphins and Stephen Ross, and it looks like he's about to become a Miami Dolphin, and Robert Kraft has to live with that? Can he live with that? Can he allow that to happen without stepping in and overruling Belichick and doing that thing? That's the question.
I mean, I would go so far as to say, who can hold their water longer, Brady or Kraft?
And that too.
Because Brady's just as likely to cave as Kraft is. Maybe more so.
Maybe more so.
To me, it's ultimately which one of those guys blinks.
Do you think that Brady, you know, and I think it was the Lock and Four report talked about his standing on the list, or I don't know whose report that was, about how he looks at the list of quarterback salaries and he can't believe where he is.
So that was Bedard. I'm sorry, you're Bedard. That was Tangway. Excuse me. It was Tangway on Friday who said Brady's sick of being embarrassed by what other quarterbacks are making.
So if you look at the list, do you think it bothers him that like Kirk Cousins makes $28 million a year?
Yeah,
like, is that his level that he wants to get more than that?
I thought it was. I always thought it was he wanted more than Garoppolo.
I was going to say.
Jimmy's around the same place. Yeah.
So I'm
I mean, I put it this way. If I were Brady, I would look at it and say, that bum Cousins makes more than me. But at the same time, Brady's had a million opportunities to fix that.
Yes.
A million. And he's never made it a priority. So to me, I think it's about the years more than the actual dollars. He wants 2 years.
He wants Bill to say, Tom, you're our quarterback for the next 2 years, no doubt. Here's a contract that reflects that.
Right. He cares about the contract, yeah. Which is what now
it's a monster.
Thank you, Gary. But it's what I've settled on because it's not, I agree, it's not purely the money. It's does the contract show, and however it's structured, yes. Whatever the money is and however it's structured, does it ironclad, you're our quarterback for the next 2 years?
Yep.
And however
that's the respect factor. That's the number one thing that I think is on Brady's list.
So the contract's important. It's not necessarily money, but it's contract. Matt in the car, your thoughts.
Touchdown.
Hey, what's going on, guys? A little side comment. XFL is getting ready to relaunch, and it is what it is. But they have their own format, one of them being overtime is it's something like a 5-on-5 shootout where each team lines up at the 10-yard line and gets 5 plays to score.
Five?
I just want to know what your thoughts are on that. And if it sounds intriguing to me, I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, so I don't love the I always thought this was called the Kansas City overtime. The college format is mm-hmm. In high school we called it the Kansas City overtime. And that's where you get whatever. First and 10 at the 25, and it's a shootout. Now he's saying, what, you get 5 plays from the 10? Why would you get 5?
No idea.
And not 4. But either way, I don't like it. I don't like it. I also don't like the current format where both teams don't get a chance to touch the ball. To me, both teams get a chance to touch the ball.
Oh, Hank.
And that's the only adjustment I make in overtime.
Okay,
yes?
I was just looking at their website. They said, overtime shall consist of 5 rounds staged in alternating single-play possessions as is customary in NHL shootouts.
So that's
from
what
the 5-yard line.
So is it from the 5 or from the 2-point conversion
each
line?
Each possession starts at the opponent's 5-yard line.
So you go,
one play
it's
to
like
score.
A shootout.
So it's yep. A shootout. You each get a play. You
know, and it's best of 5.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's better than, it's not horrible. It's not horrible.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Final Bedard thoughts on Brady and where we stand today with that story. Don't go anywhere.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not $10,000 or $12,000. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You continue to dominate the news around the National Football League. You've had a couple of weeks now to decompress. Are you coming to grips with the realistic possibility that perhaps, you might play for another team, and are you willing to do that?
Well, like you said, it's been a couple weeks, and I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I've said earlier I'm open-minded about the process, and at the same time, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. And in the meantime, I'm going to watch these 2 games today as a fan and enjoy them from my couch.
Couch potato Tom Brady. Won't be a potato, probably avocado.
That's right. Either one. Something healthy, baby.
All right, Bedard. You going to the Super Bowl?
No.
All right, so I'm not going to talk to you next week.
Nope.
Where do you think we stand with Brady? Do you think he's truly open-minded?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he has to be. I mean, he can't say anything otherwise or else the Patriots would just be like, yeah, whatever. Tom's either going to retire or he's going to play for us. So we're just going to, jerk him around, let him go see what his market is. And, people don't want to change everything for a 42-year-old guy going to his year 43 season, all that stuff. I think in the right circumstance.
Is he at least prepared to play the game? Meaning,
He better be.
Going to talk to other teams. I'm already talking to another owner. Yep. I'm going to shop myself. I'm going to see what's out there. Is he at least willing to do that?
He better be. I mean, but I do think, you know.
And I agree, he better be.
You talked about it where you still think that, you know, because you've said retirement, because yep. you think when push comes to shove, Brady's going to be like, I'm not playing for John Gruden and Mark Davis or the chart Anthony Lynn and the Spanos family. Like, I can't. No, this isn't right. I'm just going to call it quits. You know, and I still think that's a possibility. That's why I think that the Titans and the Saints are the two teams to watch, because I think that Sean Payton watched the NFC Championship games. His team has constantly underachieved. This is a team that's been a Super Bowl contender for like three or four straight years, and they keep underachieving. And you have to look at it and say that Breeze might be part of the problem there.
Mm. Wouldn't that be...
And that there's a spur in his side, and that maybe he's telling him, you know, Drew, I think maybe you should retire or whatever. And I bet you, it wouldn't be a stretch to me that Peyton thinks that Brady would be the guy to put him over the top down there, because that's a team that's built to win now. It's now or never for that team. Is it with, who gives you a better chance, Breeze or Brady?
Well, Brady. Wouldn't it be tasty for the league if Breeze, Brady, Rivers, all these guys ended up on different teams?
Yeah, sure.
Oh. Be like the NBA.
But
imagine Brady throwing a Michael Thomas.
Okay, I totally can. Here's what I can't see.
And Taysom Hill.
Him in a Saints helmet. Like that's part of my...
The visual.
It is part of the way, and it shouldn't be, but it just sort of is. Is he going to be a Saint? Is he going to be a New Orleans Saint?
Indoors?
I think he's got a chance. That's why I also think... I think the Saints and the Titans. I mean, because... The Titans, they have to decide what they're going to do, how they're going to build their team, who they're going to pay, the running back or Tannehill.
I can't believe you're still, like, I'm not saying you're wrong, but if they are really considering giving quarterback money to the running back and then skimping at quarterback and trying to win the way they want, stupid,
well,
stupid.
I mean,
but what
look,
if they can't get a quarterback?
To me, that would not be an option for the Tennessee Titans. There's guys available. Rivers is a free agent. Brady's a free agent. Breeze is a free agent. Cam Newton might be available. Hell, Eli Manning is still out there. Who'd you rather have, Ryan Tannehill or Eli Manning?
Eli.
Tannehill.
Eli.
Well, here's the thing.
Rivers in Tennessee. I didn't even think of that.
Okay, so, like, I mean, there's just too many guys out there to go back to Ryan Tannehill. So there's no, you know, what if they can't get a guy? No, not an option. Get a guy.
Well, here I was looking at this in one of the breaks. So every year, as is with every other position, like the quarterback position, the next guy one-ups the other in terms of... So Ezekiel Elliott is the top. It's $15 million a year.
Ha!
You think Derrick Henry is going to ask for... He's going to play for less than what Zeke got after this record-setting postseason?
I don't care what he asks for. I'm not giving it to
but
him.
But I'm saying, so you're going to have to pay over, say, $15.5 million for a running back. If that's your team, if you're Mike Vrabel and say the identity of our team... is we're a tough, physical, running team that plays good defense. That's who we are. So we're going to have a $15 million running back, and then we're going to have a $15 million quarterback. So it's one or the other. Do you go running back and quarterback making $30 million combined, or you do go with the quarterback and then the running back?
Second thing.
I agree with you.
Is that crazy left tackle there still under contract?
Yes, Luan is. The right tackle, Conklin, is not. He is a free agent. He's going to get paid as well, even though
so I
think
him.
I move on from him.
Oh, really?
I draft a tackle or get one that's... Patriots got Trent Brown.
I invest in the offensive line. I don't invest in the running back, and I make sure I have a quarterback.
I would agree. I would agree with that.
And that's that. I mean... And
I would pay Conklin. I would get Brady, and then I'd find... A running back, whatever, in the draft or wherever. I mean, look at the kid in Denver, Lindsay. He was an undrafted running back, and he's
examples.
Been great the past 2 years.
The two starting running backs in the Super Bowl are undrafted.
Yep.
So it's like, come on, how many more examples do we need of this? And again, Derrick Henry was drafted in the second round, right?
Yes, right, second round.
So, but, I mean, go draft another guy in the second round.
But the thing about if you say, okay, Tannehill's good enough, you have to pay him. You need a real running back. If it's Tannehill,
right?
Like he can't function.
No. Tannehill's done.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm Tennessee, love you, mean it. Great contract run by you. We both won. You know, we got what we needed out of you. You got what you needed out of us. Now go make your money. I'm going to let someone else get stupid.
Have fun in San Diego.
And pay you like a real quarterback.
LA.
Exactly. Like, if someone wants to give you real top-end money, then that'll be their mistake, and we'll move on, and there's too many quarterback options out there for them to settle back on Ryan Tannehill, for crying out loud. But on the Brady thing, I just think, come on, Tommy. If you're going to demand them not give you the franchise tag, and you're going to kick and scream behind the scenes like you've been kicking and screaming behind the scenes now for 2 years about being disrespecting the contract, you have to at least make them sweat. You have to at least make them sweat. And
see,
so,
to make them sweat, doesn't he actually have to be a threat to take it?
Yes. So at least play the game.
I know, but it's one thing to go through the motions if he's, you know, I think they look at him and say, you're not leaving.
On March 19, if he goes to Denver, hosted by John Elway, with the full bells and whistles, I'll take that seriously. Won't you?
Yeah. I mean, but again, they've been working with this guy for 20 years. That's all I'm saying. Is I hear you. I'm not telling you he shouldn't do it. I don't know if they'll take the cheese. They've been working with him for 20 years. They know that ultimately he caves. And so they say he's going to put on a good dog. But the bottom line is they would not have given up the right to franchise him, although they were never going to give him that money anyway. But that aside, they would never give that up if they didn't think he didn't have the balls to leave. They're daring him to leave, and they don't think he'll do it.
Okay, big boy, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it. Sounds good. See you guys.
Maybe talk to you in 2 weeks, maybe not. I don't know. We got to talk with the scheduler.
Okay.
Either way, coming up next, let's get to the Celtics last night, shall we? That was a nice one, wasn't it?
Statement victory for my Boston Celtics.
Best win in a long time.
Here we go. So let's discuss that, shall we, right after Murray's 90-second update.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.